Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
As you get ready to expand your knowledge this offseason, make sure to save the date for USA Football's 2020 National Conference taking place February 21st through the 23rd in Louisville, Kentucky. This is more than just a clinic. It's your chance to hone your ability to teach proven and effective techniques while connecting with coaches across the country. Most coaches are satisfied if their regional clinic delivers just one or two nuggets of information. National Conference delivers a one-of-a-kind, high school-focused, live field experience that will give you an abundance of drills and techniques to improve your team's performance. Coaches can deep dive into both X's and O's and technique at classroom and chalk talk sessions. Finally, USA Football delivers top keynote speakers year after year. Here's a few of the keynotes from previous years: Mike Tomlin, John Gruden, PJ Fleck, and Jeremy Pruitt. As an added bonus this year, paying attendees can get access to the advanced tackling system and contact system for blocking and defeating blocks following the event, and have a chance to earn the new advanced contact certification. If you're ready to get to work on next season, don't miss out on USA Football's National Conference. Learn more at nationalconference.usafootball.com/podcast. Enter the code PODCAST179 to save at registration. Welcome to another episode of the Home Team series on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Our guest host, Joel Nellis, is joined today by Greg Austin. Throughout his career, Coach Austin has been a key component in creating several winning cultures. Currently the offensive line coach and run game coordinator at the University of Nebraska, Coach Austin has helped create dominant offenses in both the NFL and in college football during his career. Now Coach Austin has returned back to his alma mater to help the Cornhuskers regain their standard of excellence both on and off the field. On this new edition of our Home Team series, Coach Nellis discusses family and football with Coach Austin. Let's kick it over to Coach Nellis for this week's Home Team.
Hello, coaches, and welcome to the Home Team Podcast, where football coaches from around the country provide the coaching community with improvements to their game plans for winning as a husband and a father. Today, we're going to be speaking with offensive line coach at the University of Nebraska, Greg Austin. Coach Austin is entering his third season at his alma mater. In addition to coaching the offensive line, Austin was promoted to run game coordinator for the Husker offense. Austin owns 11 seasons of coaching experience at the collegiate and NFL ranks. He has spent 8 of those 11 seasons with fellow Husker alum Scott Frost, including serving as Frost's offensive line coach for the 5th straight year. Austin has experienced much success in his coaching career. In his 7 seasons in the collegiate ranks, Austin has been a part of 3 conference championship teams and 4 squads that finished in the top 10 national rankings. Austin also boasts NFL experience, coaching the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line for 3 seasons, helping the Eagles to win the 2013 NFC East Division title. Austin is a proven developer of talent and has coached 6 all-conference offensive linemen the past 3 seasons at Nebraska and UCF, and with the Eagles as offensive linemen combined for 6 Pro Bowl appearances in 3 seasons. The play of Austin's lines have led to tremendous offensive success at every stop. In 7 seasons at the collegiate level, Austin's teams have finished in the top 25 nationally in total offense 5 times, and 4 times the teams have finished in the top 10 nationally in both scoring and total offense. Austin also helped the Eagles rank among the top 5 teams in total offense in 2 of his 3 seasons with the Eagles. I had the good pleasure of meeting Coach Austin as he came through our school to visit our area and one of our kids. We struck up a conversation and connected about family. He was really excited to join this podcast. Today we discuss his family, his different travels and different stops, and how Coach Frost manages and navigates families within their program. I think our listeners will really get a kick out of it, and it was a pleasure to have Coach Austin on the podcast.
Hey, Coach, welcome to the podcast.
What's up? How you doing?
Doing great. Now let's jump right in and get started and talk about the stars of your home team, beginning with your wife. How did you meet this special woman?
So, kind of a unique story. My wife and I are actually both originally from Houston, Texas. We actually lived close by one another when we were very young. We found that out, you know, kind of as we were talking through. But at any rate, I met my wife in Lincoln, Nebraska. My wife was going to Florida Atlantic University, FAU, at the time. She had come up here for a weekend to spend a birthday weekend for her best friend. Her best friend went to school here at Nebraska. I was friends with her best friend, and that's how we kind of connected. And lo and behold, we kind of started this thing off long distance and, you know, kind of moved around separately, kind of chasing our own professional dreams. And then decided that we wanted to, hey, let's settle down and, you know, kind of, you know, somebody sacrificed their career for the other one. My wife, at the time, she was my girlfriend. She made the decision to sacrifice her career, and we started living together and when I was working at Oregon, you know. So, like I said, both of us are from Houston. We met here in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I was going to school, and I played here. So, yeah, so that's the story of my wife and I.
How did those negotiations go? I call them negotiations with who was going to make their career move. You know, how is she going to continue to support you through coaching? How did those conversations go? How long did that process take?
Man, I would venture to say the process probably took about maybe in totality about 2.5-3 years. After I finished undergrad, I went to grad school, ironically at UCF, where we, you know, where I eventually worked as a coach. But I went to grad school down there, and she was finishing up at FAU. Actually, she had finished FAU already because she's a year older than me. She finished up there, and then she actually pursued a music career down there in Florida. But it was ironic because I moved down there, and we were in the same state, you know, so no more long distance. We were in the same state, albeit she was in South Florida. I was in more central Florida, so we were still 3 hours away from one another. And then she, you know, she was pursuing a music career. That didn't work out, and then she decided, okay, I'm going to move back to Houston, which, you know, which was home base for her. And then, you know, maybe, you know, after that, like I said, a couple years after that, where we were kind of moving, you know, crossing paths with one another, but never being in the same city for more than a month, I told her, I said, hey, you know, eventually one of us is going to have to sacrifice our career. put our career on hold. How about that? That's probably the way I said it. And one of us is going to have to put our career on hold in order for the other to, you know, to really pursue theirs, you know. And, you know, we want to do this thing together. We got to make sure that we're connected on a more, you know, normal basis, you know. So lo and behold, you know, we had those conversations. And at this point in time, I was fortunate to get the opportunity to go work out there at the University of Oregon. You know, when I moved out there to Oregon, that's when I kind of really put the hardcore press on that thought process. And I said, hey, you know, I'm moving out to Oregon. You're still in Houston. I said, something's got to give. You know, we have to do something. So therefore, you know, she made the decision. She called me one day and said, hey, you know, I think I'm going to move to Oregon.
Awesome.
I think that this is, you know, I think that, you know, this is what she said. I put my trust in you. I put my trust in, you know, what you're doing. And, you know, but at this point in time, man, we have been together for, you know, 6 years now.
Right.
You know, but we had never really been together, you know.
Sure.
So,
yep.
So, you know, she did that. And soon after, I told her, you know, hey, I told her that, you know, she's the girl of this life, you know. So I asked her to marry me. And sure enough, she, you know, she moved up to Oregon. And then, and we actually got married our first year when I was at the Eagles. So,
a long recruiting process.
Yeah. It was a long recruiting process, but, you know, got her signed.
That's right. No doubt. What's a character trait or quality that she has that makes her so special to you?
Oh, man, she's resilient. I can tell you that, man. She's, you know, she's one of those that nothing seems to bother her. Like, you know, you know, she doesn't get rattled, you know. My wife, man, my wife is a, you know, you're talking about a lady that had a child, you know, and had twins, you know, 15 months after having a child, you know, I mean, she's resilient. She's tough. Probably one of the toughest ladies that I know, you know. And then, you know, character trait, her, by her, she's just, you know, she's always going to have your back. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know, she's not one of those, like, you know, she's going, I never have any thought process that my wife is not 1,000% behind me, you know, because she is, through thick and thin, through, you know, those nights where I'm like, hey, I'm coming home at 7:30, and the next thing you know, it's 11:30, I'm just now rolling in, right. You know, where she gets a little agitated, you know, but yeah, she understands it, and she's the backbone of this household. She knows, you know, she knows she is. She's a tough girl. So
let's talk about those other members of your starting lineup, your kids. You wouldn't mind giving us their names, their ages, and maybe what makes them so special to you.
Oh, man. So we have soon to be 6-year-old. She'll be 6 on February 15th here in a couple weeks. But her name is Kylan. That's our oldest. The older of the twins, she's 4. Her birthday is June 11th. Her name is Kinley. And my youngest, the younger of the twins, her name is Colby. So Kylan, Kinley, and Colby. And obviously, mom's name is Kelly. So we wanted to keep it in the K's for all the girls. And what makes them so special, I tell you, man, it's crazy. And I'll tell you the story later on. But I'm at home right now with my kids by myself. My wife actually left town today to go out of town. But at any rate, you know, Kylan's, you know, she is she's type A. You know, and she's like her dad. She's very type A. She's very routine. What you see is what you get. Like, you can expect, if you know what you can expect from Kylan. I'll skip over Kinley right now because Kylan and Kobe are probably polar opposites. You don't know what to expect from Kobe. You know, Kobe's, you know, a mess. Kobe's free spirit. Yep. You know, Kobe's just like, you know, it's just Kobe, right? She's the most, like, she's the one that's the most extroverted of all of them. She's going to, you know, all of our friends and everybody around us, you know, everybody loves Kobe because of, you know, how open and inviting she is from the time you meet her. And then, you know, some of the other ones, the other two grow on them, you know, but Kobe is the girl, their girl. And Kobe's crazy, gotcha. Though, you know. and then Kinley's a little nerd. She's like a little, you know, just, she has a slick mouth, but anyway, that's besides the point. She's very, very, she keeps to herself until she gets the feel for you. And then, you know, once she has a good feel for you, she'll decide on whether she likes you or not. And if she doesn't like you, she'll never talk to you or never go around. If she likes you, then she'll cling to you and you'll be like, okay, can you give me some space? You know, that's how she is. But, you know, all of them have their own little personalities. It's crazy. Three different girls can have, in the same household, can have such different personalities. You know, the twins don't need each other. I was just telling, I forget who I was telling, maybe one of the, our secretary that I was talking to her. And, you know, I go to the school, the twins don't need each other. You know, they don't have separation anxiety. You know, you can separate them. You can put one of them in one class, the other one in another class, and they'll be fine. Even though they're in the same class in all of their schools, they don't play together. You know, they try to establish their own kind of circle of friends, you know, and then they, when they come home, they, you know, they love one another, you know, and they play together and they have a good cordial relationship. So, it's kind of cool. I like our little family dynamic. You know, everybody asks me, you'll probably ask me the same thing, man. Are you going to try for a boy? And, you know, my wife and I have decided that, you know, if 2021 comes and, she's not pregnant, then she's over. You know, it's over. But so we'll see. You know, we'll certainly see what happens here in the next 10 months. And, you know, maybe it's in the cards, maybe it's not.
Yeah, girls are special. I got one at home, and it's a different group, but it's awesome, and you know, love them nonetheless. And they have their own special talents and you know uniqueness to them, and a different set of challenges, and that's part of the fun. Next, we're moving on to a section called "We Make the Call" and discuss how your family has navigated some important decisions throughout your career. When discussing a new job with your wife, what are things you evaluate before making a decision? That you guys try to do together?
Well, I'm kind of unique in that I've been very fortunate in my career to really have not really had to make big time hard decisions. The one decision that we had to make, you know, was to leave the NFL and go back to college and, you know, go to, you know, UCF with Ross, with Scott. And when we made that decision, you know, it was unique because, you know, I had gone to UCF. Kelly's mom's family is from Florida as well. We're a big time family support, you know, operation. So, you know, that decision was made easy because, you know, I knew I had a support there with how I, you know, with the people that I connected with when I was in grad school, you know, and then she had a family support there from, you know, just from her mom being from there. You know, another thing that we talk about is ascension. We talk about, okay, what does this move prepare us for? You know, what prepare you for as a job? But then also, you know, I do weigh the job market in her field as well. My wife, you know, now has started her own business. She's starting an interior design business now. But you know, this was a big deal for her. And, you know, initially she was in fashion merchandising, you know, so I wanted to make sure that I was in a market that favored that. Or there were some contacts or something in that market that allowed her to explore that field, you know. So Philly had them, although Philly was, you know, time where we were expanding our family, so she didn't get an opportunity to go in and, you know, attack that side of it. But yeah, I mean, you know, certainly money is a big deal. You know, we certainly want to make sure that we're making, you know, that we're compensated for any move that we make. But then also above and beyond that, it's quality of life, you know, and quality of life starts with family for us. You know, that's where quality of life, you know, begins. It begins with what our familial situation is going to be.
Consistency and discipline is a big thing in parenting. You know, being apart as much as you are, whether you're on the road recruiting or in the office, how do you and your wife communicate and deal with discipline issues with your girls?
Well, like I said earlier, man, my wife's pretty tough on the girls. You know, it's weird because, you know, I try to be like you would expect. You know, the guy that is not home as much as a coach is, you expect me to come in and be, you know, kind of here and, you know, and nice and try to be as, you know, I don't want to say soft, but, you know, you expect me to come in and just kind of have this big grin on my face all the time I'm here and,
sure,
you know, be a happy-go-lucky guy around the girls, and you know, I'm anything but that. I come home and I'm like, hey, you know, when mommy tells you to do something, it's time for you to do it. You know, I'm very hard on them because I want them to see us on the same page. They're, my number one goal in parenting with them in terms of discipline is, you know, I want to be the force, the you know, the connective tissue with my wife to continue to progress and bring them up. You know, there's very, very few, there's very few instances where, you know, where my wife and I are on different pages in terms of raising our girls, you know, very few. And, you know, I'll give you an example. My middle child, like I said, she has kind of a little bit of a slip of mouth more than I want her to. Mm-hmm. And she said something, you know, she said something to my wife the other day. And, you know, when your wife is, you know, when somebody's around kids or, you know, around something for so long, they kind of become immune to it, if you will. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's almost like she kind of, she might have heard it, but I don't know if she heard it the way I heard it. Right.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes, you know, it just takes that, it takes that other person hearing it. And, you know, I kind of jumped on her. I said, what did you say? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she knew right when I said it, it was like, hey, you don't talk to your mom like that. And this is the person that takes care of you, you know, I'm not going to say the only person, but, you know, this right. is the one that predominantly takes care of you. I said, man, you need to rethink this whole deal. You need to get your attitude together, you know? So that discipline is more or less for me, it's working hand in hand with my wife, you know?
Yeah.
Because I won't go into it, but, you know, I just think that women, like girls, like they got to have their stuff together. They can't just depend on somebody to take care of them, you know? So I'm on top of them about that aspect. And I want them to be the best of the best because, you know, for one, they should be the best of the best. And two, you know, I want them to be prepared, you know, for life, you know, just like the boys or just like, I like to call it, I have my girl time at home and I have my boy time at the office, you know.
Right.
you know, so
I like that.
I'm hard on them. Now, I will say you this, from time to time, my wife, you know, she's like, hey, you know, you need to, and she tells me this and gives me feedback in private. She's like, from time to time, I think that you speak to them as if you are talking to your boys, you know.
Okay.
And then, so then when she says that, it's awesome because then I have to, you know, take a step back and just kind of self-evaluate, you know, the things that I'm saying to them and how, because I'm hard on my boys because I want them to, you know, I want those guys to succeed. And I want those guys to, you know, be really good players and all of that. But I want those guys, I hold those guys to a standard in everything that they do, not just, you know, whether they can block the inside zone. And I hold those guys to a standard in class. I hold those guys to a standard in their life, you know, because that matters to me. Like, it's a big thing. It's a big deal, you know. And it's more or less the way I express it to my girls versus the boys. Like, you can certainly be a little bit more direct with the boys, you know.
Yep.
But then when you get home, you kind of have to make that transition, you know. Can't talk to them like you talk to the boys, you know. And from time to time, she does tell me, hey, you know, just think about how you relate to them, because they love you. You know, my girls, you know, love me. They love me to death, and they love me even more because they know that there is a discipline that they're going to have to live up to be around me. You know, I just,
right.
That's one thing I don't turn off, you know, and that's the one thing I can't turn off, because it's just not in me to do so. That my dad, you know, it's kind of where my dad, you know, it's how my dad was, you know. But yeah, but they, you know, when it's time to go to bed, you know, when mom and I are home, when it's time to go to bed, you know, mom says go to bed, you know, and then maybe about 20 minutes later, they're in the bed. When I say go to bed, they're in the bed like 5 minutes later. at the most, you know. So it's just like, you know, and that's not bragging. It's more or less,
right?
Like they kind of understand that, hey, you know, daddy really doesn't deal with, you know, I say something and then, you know, 15, 20 minutes will pass, you know, where mom is doing this, mom is doing that. She's, you know, she got sidetracked going here, doing that. No. Hey, when it's time to get to bed, get to bed. All right, let's go.
I love it.
You know, let's get it done.
Next series of questions, we're going to talk clock management and talk about how you spend your time to blend family and football. You know, with the long hours you have, what are things that you do weekly, maybe so during the season, to stay engaged and interested in your kids' lives?
So, and it's awesome working for Scott. I'll take you through a game week Sunday.
Sure.
Sunday, and it's a little bit different here in Nebraska than it was at UCF because during our official visits mainly happen during the season, whereas at UCF they didn't. But certainly, if we can make it to church, I will make it to church. Church is very important to us and our family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do go to church. And then on Sunday evening, we have family dinner, you know, so the girls come up and it's not just my family, you know, isolated. It's everybody in the building's family, all the coaches, their families come up, kids play together, et cetera, et cetera. My wife and I get an opportunity to hang out with the girls for maybe about, it ends up being about an hour, you know, on Sunday.
Okay.
So that's Sunday. Monday's tough. And I'm an early riser too. So I'm on the bike. I'm an early riser, early workout guy. I'm on the bike. I'm starting my workout at 4:30, you know, so I'm a 4 o'clock guy, get my workout at 4:30. And then Monday, heck, I don't see him at all. You know, Tuesday, same deal. Wednesday, certainly the same deal. Wednesday is a very long night for me. That's when a lot of the game plan, all that stuff is really solidified. And we're just kind of working on the last physical practice and, you know, really getting our mental game tightened up. So that's Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Thursday is date night. So Thursday is date night for us. On Thursdays, when we get out of evening meetings, I go home. And Thursday night, it's you're at home, hang out with the girls. And then Thursday night, it, like my wife and I, we probably stay up and watch TV, watch HGTV, just literally hang out on Thursday night all night.
Okay.
Depending on what time the game is on Friday, I'll likely do the same exact thing. So I'll just hang out with her Friday during the day. Like if we have a home game, like so certainly if we have a home game on Friday during the day, I get an opportunity to go and grab one of the girls or grab my oldest right now, the way the schedule works out. And I've been able to do this consistently at UCF and at Nebraska, but I go and pick her up from school. So okay. that's always on Friday. I make it a point to do that on Friday. Let me back up. Sorry. I don't work out on Thursday morning because Wednesday is such a late night. So
yep.
Thursday, and also Thursday, we allow the boys to sleep in. Thursday is actually the walkthrough day for us. And then we actually go fast. We go fast on Friday prior to Saturday games. So yep. Thursday morning, I get an opportunity to eat breakfast with the girls on Thursday morning. And like I said earlier, Thursday night is date night for Kelly and I. So then Friday, what happens on Friday? Yep, Friday's a kind of a little bit of a normal day. If you know, I'll wait on Thursday and Friday. Thursday, I get to eat breakfast with the girls. Friday, I wait until they wake up, and right about the time they're waking up is about the time I'm leaving to get to the office on Friday. Saturday, like I said, depending on what time the game is, certainly if there's a home game and we're playing it in the afternoon or at night, they usually take me to the hotel, or, you know, I hang out with them as much as I can on Saturday. You know, and that's kind of how the game week goes. You know, so I try to make the most of the days on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You know, Sunday we get to see each other at the family dinner. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, hard. Those are yeah. hard days. You know, 3 days out of the week. But we get to spend a substantial amount of time on those Thursdays, Fridays, you know, and sometimes Saturday, depending on what time the game is. Just, yeah, during the off season, you know, Scott does a really good job of making sure that that we're out of the office at, you know, in a normal hour, 5:30, 6 o'clock. So during the off season, you know, we get home, and if I have a normal 9 to 5, then, you know, even through yeah. spring ball. So that's an awesome deal, is that, you know, in the month of February, March, and half of April, you know, we get an opportunity to, you know, hang out with the family as much as we can in the evening hours. So that's, you know, that's cool. You know, May is tough, obviously. June's a little bit tougher because we have camps, you know.
Yep.
And in July, we're at home, you know, with them for vacation.
Yeah. You've now had the chance to work for Coach Frost for, you know, in two stints, both at the UCF, and I see you doing from Oregon. And, you know, some of the questions I typically ask are related to maybe different coaches, but you really worked for, you know, mainly one guy, at least at the college level. How has he been with guys on staff if they need to go watch their kids' events? Is that a pretty easy conversation to have with him? Are there things that he does to get people, you know, families around the program? Is he a very family-friendly guy with, you know, how he loops that into your schedule? It sounds like it just based on how your week goes, but if you want to talk a little about how the culture he's created with family in your program?
Yeah, man, it's, you know, family is a family-first culture. You know, Scott, you know, we worked for Chip, right? So I was at yep. Oregon with Chip. And at the time that we worked for Chip, Chip was not married. And it was so weird how he scheduled, like literally the calendar was made, and the calendar really revolved around guys and their families, you know, whether they had children and this, children and that. Certainly you can't appease everybody in every situation,
yep.
but Chip was so cognizant, especially as a single guy, he was so cognizant of everybody's family time. You know, so he was so adamant about getting guys home and, you know, guys pouring into their kids' lives. And Scott just really kind of, you know, carried that forward. You know, the family dinner thing, that was the Chip idea. You know, that was big on Chip's list. And again, Chip is not. See, at that point in time, Chip didn't have a family. When he ate, his whole family, you know, he was still a man. you know, it was crazy.
That's hilarious.
But, you know, my mom always says that about my brother, because my brother's not married.
Okay.
She's like, yeah, when he eats, his whole family, you know. Because sometimes he, you know, I'm not going to get onto that. My brother, he.
No doubt.
He's older than me, you know, that whole deal.
Okay.
Whatever. But anyway, so yes, Scott, man. So Tony Tuota, he's our D-line coach. His son recently okay. signed with Nevada. And
okay.
I'll just give you an example, man. Heck, on signing day, December 18th, all the full-time coaches were at the office. Normal. I mean, we had to be there at what time? At 6 o'clock, right? Because yep. the East Coast guys could sign on the East Coast at 7 o'clock, which would be 6 o'clock our time. So we had to be there at 6 o'clock. A lot of guys got there at 5:30, you know, whatever. That's the normal time. No big deal. But there was one person that was not there. I'm like, why is Tony Tuoti not here? He's our D-line coach. Like, what the heck's going on? You know, we signed D-linemen too. So then I completely forgot. Now, Tony's son, Tony's oldest son, he signed this year to Nevada, you know, and I didn't put all of that together until he got back, until he got in the office, you know, about 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm like, man, you know, I'm like, where was this guy at? Like, he just getting to work or what? And, you know, Scott gave him the go ahead and say, hey, man, you know, we got coverage here. You know, we're good. I want you to enjoy that moment with your son. You know, enjoy that moment at 7 o'clock a.m. sitting at the kitchen table and signing with your son. You know, so, and that's just like I said, that's one example of how Scott approaches the deal. You know, our kids are always around. Scott knows my kids by name. Obviously, you know, we've been together for, you know, now a number of years. So, but our kids are always around. There was never a situation where, matter of fact, one time, you know, my wife came up to the office. I told her I was going to be free at a certain time, you know, and then next thing you know, a meeting ran a little bit longer than it should have. And so she walks in, or she walks by, actually walks by our staff room, and lo and behold, you got a 2.5-year-old, a 3-year-old little girl twin. One of my twins just walked in the staff room with all the coaches in there. So it's like, all right, you know, my wife and the other two, they just kept going to my office. So they sat in the office. And sure enough, like, she came in and she got on my lap and she just hung out there for literally 31 minutes is what really, how that thing carried on for 31 minutes. I had to keep her quiet the whole time, but you know, that's how it was. And we didn't miss a beat. You know, there was no, hey, G, you know, can you get her out of here or anything else like that?
Right.
You know, it was just, you know, it was normal. You know, so like I said, man, you know, family, you know, if there's one thing that, you know, that he values and we value in this program, it is family. And, you know, that's a big deal to us.
Coach, I don't know the answer. I don't know a lot of guys that have coached in the NFL. You've had the opportunity to be there. Would you say, you know, some guys may toy around, is it maybe it's more family friendly because you don't have to go on the road recruiting? You've been through a couple cycles in the NFL season. Is there any argument to the fact that, you know, one may be more family friendly than the other? Or is it all staff dependent and, you know, kind of a horse apiece?
Well, I can say this because I can only speak on my experience of being there and the staff that I was with. I would venture to say that it's certainly staff dependent.
Okay.
But outside of being staff dependent, just structurally, you know, when the one thing that I really valued in the NFL is that when you went home, like, you could have just thrown your phone literally and put it in a table right by the door, and because it was not going to ring for no reason, you know, it was not going to ring for any reason. There was no recruiting. There's no none of that. Yeah. So when you were at home or when you were on vacation and you're in the NFL, you are locked in. You are dialed in to whatever is going on at home. You don't need to worry about, you know, a kid or his parent or anything else as such. That is vying for your time. And the other thing about the NFL that I really valued was that you never brought work home with you. You know, like you never brought work home. So from time to time, you know, you got recruiting, you got football, you know, you're kind of doing both of those, you know, sometimes. And I vouched to myself, I was like, man, I can't. What I can't do is I can't bring work home with me, because then that robs my kids of the time that they really get to spend with me. You know, it's worse than me being at the office is being here but not being here. You know, me coming home and going straight into my office and working on something. And I hate from time to time when I have to do that to get something done. You know, from time to time to meet a hey Beg, I'm be home at 6:30 and you know it's approaching and I'm still not done, but I still got to get this done, you know, in order to be prepared for the next meeting tomorrow or you know whatever it may be, you know. So it's certainly a lot of it's staff dependent, but just generally speaking, you know, when you're in the NFL, man, it's, you know, there is no recruiting. And that's the big piece of it. The other thing is that from a travel, you know, from an annual travel standpoint, you know, there is no May recruiting, you know. Right. In May, you're an off-season program. Again, it's off-season program. So, therefore, in the NFL, man, outside of the season, if you're working – you know, and those guys have a CBA. Those guys have an agreement. They can't be. Right. They can't even be in the building past a certain hour. So, right. You know, if you're sitting at your desk in the NFL, you know, through the wee hours of the night, you're either studying, you know, you're trying to get coached up on something, you know, or you're just a maniac. I don't know, or you're just bored, or you just have no life, or something like that. You know. So I will tell you that, I mean, and that's generally speaking, that's probably universal for every single staff. You know, no May recruiting. You know, in June you don't have to go to camps. You don't do all those camps or anything else like that. You know, you can do a clinic if you want to. You know, but those aren't mandatory. The only time you're really out on the road is when you go to Indianapolis for the combine. You know, maybe if you. If you go to the Senior Bowl in Alabama, and then there's about a 3-week window, month window in there where you might have to go and work out a kid at a college, but those even those times are very minimal, you know. So certainly it's a different lifestyle. It's a different lifestyle. But now when you're in the season, I can tell you this, when you're in the season, you know, the hours are similar and maybe more from time to time. And that season is long. Like that season is a heck of a lot longer than the collegiate season. You know, you talk about playing, you're playing at least 20 games because the preseason games, you know, in terms of work volume, they're not very much different than, you know, the regular season games. And now, you know, you get into the playoffs, you go deep into the playoffs. You know, that's an extremely long season. You know, it's an extremely long season. So that's the, that's the tough thing about the league. And then you have your Thursday games, your Sunday games, followed by the Thursday games where you don't come home for a full week at all. You know, that was a unique one, you know. You've had to play on that Thursday. Every single team has a Thursday game, you know, and you don't. You literally leave the Sunday game you just played, and you go back to the office. You know, basically, you don't return back home until Friday. Friday after that Thursday game, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's a trip.
Yeah, it's a trip. So, but Coach, like I said, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is, no doubt. I want to be respectful of your time. I just want just two more questions for you. We'll wrap things up. Can you share one of the struggles you've had to overcome as a family during your career? Maybe what lessons other coaches could learn from it?
This past year, one of my kids, you know, his father was involved in an accident and. And his father passed away from the accident. And it, as crazy as it was, you know, this is a kid that recently we had just lost for the season. A kid that we were depending on, we just lost for the season. And I went to the hospital to go see the kid after he got knee surgery. I just saw the guy's dad, you know, literally like a week prior to him being fatally, being, I mean, being him losing his life in that car accident. You know, so it was a tough deal, man. It was a really tough deal to, you know, kind of go through that and more or less tell the guys that, you know, man, this could be your dad. You know, this could be, you know, one of your close family members. You know, life is short. And for those guys to really understand and not take for granted the opportunity that they have, I'm always trying to get those guys to learn, you know, learn the lesson. The lesson with that was, you know, for one, don't take things for granted. And for two, now that you've left home and you're on your own and you're an independent young man, you know, on a day-to-day basis, getting better and trying to, perfect your craft and all that other stuff, you know, let's not lose track of those people that helped you get here, especially the people that are closest to you. You know, make sure you're reaching back and reaching out, because you might get that call one day, you know, just like this kid did. He got that call that his dad didn't make it, you know, from that accident. So, you know, that was a tough deal. It was a very tough deal, you know, even this year, to go through that with the kids, because sometimes, I mean, having to, kind of comfort him while trying to, you know, coach these guys and hold those guys to a standard, it's a very tough deal, because you can still have to coach football, but then you still have to recognize and take a pause and acknowledge, you know, and memorialize, you know, that situation. So
it's a tough one. I mean, it's a hard thing to navigate, and there's definitely a delicate balance that you have to play. But sounds like obviously you handled it very well, and you know, I know the kid in the long run will obviously appreciate, you know, what you did for him.
Yes.
And the group
yes.
grows dramatic,
yes.
you know, et cetera. The last question I have is, I call it victory formation, since we're kind of wrapping up. You know, when the outside world looks at a coach, they often get judged on the wins and losses or the accomplishments of the players they have. The potential legacy of a coach that can have on his players and his family is really of much more value than anything that really can be measured. What legacy or impact are you striving to create through coaching that you couldn't do in any other profession?
I honestly, you know, my purpose in coaching is to add value to the players that I have an opportunity to be in a leadership position. You know, I think the biggest legacy that I can leave is being a doer, not a sayer. You know, if I'm telling you, you know, if I'm telling you to be the best, if I'm telling you to be the best version of yourself, if I'm telling you to be a family-oriented guy, if I'm telling you to be a monogamous man, you know, if I'm telling you to live with a high moral code, a high character, you know, then, and if I'm telling you that you got to make hard decisions in your life, you know, those are the things that stick. You know, those are the things more is called than what it's actually formally taught. You know, and I always believe that because I've had coaches that, you know, spoke a really good game and spoke this and spoke that. They were salesmen. You know, I've also had coaches that didn't necessarily speak and didn't have even the best diction or the best ways to say things, you know. Sometimes they couldn't even get their thoughts out from time to time. But, when I looked at those guys and saw the men that they were, those were the guys that really, you know, were influential, the most influential to me. And those were the guys that actually got me into coaching. It was those guys, you know. So, right. I always tell guys, man, I want you guys to understand that I'm in this profession, and I didn't originally want to even be in this profession. This profession called me. It was like a preacher going and getting a calling to the pulpit. Like, I didn't want to be in the profession. I didn't want to be in the profession for the simple fact that I didn't like the shadiness of recruiting. I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. And when I was getting recruited, but I wanted to be around the boys. I wanted that teamism. I wanted that team camaraderie. I wanted that, you know, brother to the right and brother to the left of me. I always desired those, you know, and that was the hardest thing to walk away from when I decided that, you know, that the NFL playing career was just not in the cards because of injuries, you know. But, you know, now that I find that in coaching, now that purpose, man, I go to work every day. I got, you know, we're off today, and I was at work today with the boys, you know, because, yeah, I was telling our secretary, I don't have any other hobbies. This is what I've given my earthly life to, you know, for the development of young men, so those guys can see themselves in a role like I'm in, so that they can have the impact that I'm trying to have, and, you know, pay it forward. Man, just pay it forward. You don't have to pay me back. No, just pay it forward. You know, pay it forward to the next guy that's moving from dependence to independence, and, you know, trying to find his stride in life. You know, like you got to be the guy that's there as a beacon of hope to these kids that, in many cases, some of them are lost and some of them aren't necessarily lost, but they just need to be confirmed in some of the things that they have grown up knowing. You know, some of these kids come from great backgrounds, but they're not so sure when they step out in the real world of how that, you know, how they can navigate it. And, you know, sometimes you need to speak a word of positivity to them and say, hey, man, you got this, you know. And some of them need to get in their ass. You need to rip their ass. I mean, it is what it is.
Yep.
You know, you just have to find the right tool. You know, you have to run the right application for the right person. But nevertheless, you know, that's the legacy I want to live. It's just, you know, that this guy was all about service and sacrifice to the young men that he had an opportunity to coach.
I love it. Well, Coach, I really appreciate your time. You know, I'm glad you guys get to catch your breath a little bit here in February and get some time with your family. And obviously, you know, best of luck as spring ball hits and into the next cycle. And obviously, best of luck in 2020 season.
I appreciate it, Coach. And I really think that you're doing a service to the coaching. Certainly, you know, in the grand scheme of things, in my opinion, I've probably taken it too far. But to the nation and to the world with this podcast, man, I think that it's something that's a value added, and I appreciate you reaching out to me and allowing me to tell my testimony, share my testimony. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it. I'm humbled by it.
Okay. You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Home Team Series on the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. Be sure to check out all we're doing on Twitter at FBDEVCoach. We have some great stuff up there daily for you. Follow me on Twitter at Coach K Grabowski, and check out all we're doing with our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.